I feel very excited about this. I think it's educating the countries, educating the Rotarians about what polio is all about. I think as a Rotarian, I've come to know more about polio and understand the importance of eradicating it throughout the world.
If it is eradicated from the remaining two countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and hopefully Nigeria remains free long enough to be declared totally free, how much will that affect the world economy and the human capital that will no longer be lost to this disease?
I think what they're predicting is that we could save up to $50 billion. That's $50 billion with a B that the economy would be able to save because of that.
Unpack that number. What goes into that?
It has to do with the amount of resources that international governments and their non-governmental organizations are pumping into these countries to fight poverty that is often caused by significant illness and disability. Some of these countries that have recently been declared polio-free, because keep in mind, 30 years ago, 125 countries were polio endemic, and now we're down to really this close to having it be a polio-free world. Those countries had an enormous amount of people that were not able to fully participate in the economy, in their lives fully, in their families fully. Many times these paralyzed victims of polio were ostracized, and that created a whole lot of global need for support.
There still is that prejudice against people who have had polio in India and some other, and the people who had it as young children who are now aging in India are still shunned and somewhat outcast, even if they have gone on to become. In one case, there was a gentleman who toured Bloomington Normal not long ago who became a doctor and a politician and a broadcaster and went on to have a successful family and a successful life. But it was really, really tough. Do Rotarians try to affect the public perception of people with polio in the countries that they're working in?
Absolutely the case. Yes, they do. And what we find at Rotary International conferences and assemblies is they will have often people stricken with polio whose families had the foresight to emigrate to polio-free countries, and those individuals have now become advocates at the highest level for a polio-free world. Rotary International is an organization that's apolitical, it's a-religious. The whole basis of Rotary is that we bring our professional knowledge, skills, and abilities to the table with high ethical standards, and we try to do the best to use our professional skills to better other places where there are need. And Rotary does indeed work towards assuring a better life for those with disabilities that have been stricken by polio. One of our key areas of focus in Rotary is clean water and sanitation. And in fact, it was our founder, Rotary International founder, Paul Harris's, his very first project was he and his five colleagues in Evanston, Illinois, decided to spend their first service dollars on putting together public and sanitary toilets in Chicago. And so as we're eradicating polio, Rotary International is also putting in clean water wells. They are advocating for maternal and child health. They are providing microfinancing for people with disabilities so that they can raise crops, raise livestock, work in the textile industry. And those microfinancing dollars go towards the equipment that's needed to sustain and training and education.
Julie Dobsky, how much money does Central Illinois send to this cause every year through the Rotary?
We're a very generous community, very generous district. I think last year we was about $60,000, and it's ongoing. Everybody gives in each club that we have, about 44 clubs.
Rotary International is a service club organization. How is it that this organization is uniquely situated to addressing such an issue that is difficult to grapple with globally? What makes Rotary a good conduit and a good coordinator for this effort?
The best reason is because we're worldwide. We have Rotarians all over the world. They get together, they talk about polio. I think that's our biggest opportunity, is to educate all Rotarians throughout the world.
Rotary International is 109 years old, maybe 105 years old. It's 1.2 million members
around the world. 1.2 million, yeah.
Yeah, in over 200 countries. I think part of the reason Rotary can make such a difference is because of this, as Julie said, this depth and breadth of people involved. It's also a highly trustworthy organization. We don't get involved in the politics of a country. We are non-governmental in nature, and it's either ranked one or two in terms of the most trustworthy foundation in the world. And so Rotarians have been able to partner with significant entities, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, Center for Disease Control, as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, to work towards polio eradication. And these partnerships are substantial. Yeah.
And I think especially, as you mentioned, the Bill and Melinda Gates, not especially, but they match every dollar that comes 2 to 1. So they're also putting in probably $1 billion themselves.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us are Julie Dobsky and Jane Chamberlain of the Rotary, talking about World Polio Day and a little bit about Jonah Salk's anniversary coming up next week. Remaining two countries in which polio is still endemic, Afghanistan and Pakistan, may be a little tougher to eradicate polio in than some other countries. They're politically not all that stable. Their central governments are not terribly effective, and their institutions are still in formation. There's political dissent. There are military operations going on. Because of that climate of distrust of Western influences, there is also some suspicion that it's not about medicine. It's about Western domination. So how does the Rotary try to tackle those attitudes in that very complex environment?
What I see happening is the dual partnership of Rotarians partnering with people in those countries, and especially the women in those countries. So we're talking about highly mobile populations in really difficult terrain, and women and mothers often will trust a health worker with the health of their child because of their immense care and love of their child. And so when Rotarians go in, they go in as a team. So they have health workers, you know, actual certified doctors and nurses. There are volunteer Rotarians, and then they go in and they create a trusting environment and partners with the women in those neighborhoods, communities, rural terrains, to have access to the children.
Mm-hmm. How does Rotary International try to avoid having its ambassadors, its workers, becoming targets for, you know, what is a political issue instead of a healthcare issue?
There have been workers that have been killed, even recently, within this past
year or two.
Calendar year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you can have a local person and contact with the women to smooth the way and gain some acceptance in a given community, but that doesn't mean that the tribe over the next mountain is going to feel the same way, and they are able to attack if they want to. So what safety mechanisms do you put in place?
I think it's just trust.
A
lot of trust that when you enter the country that you've given them a reason why you're there and a significant opportunity to avoid polio.
Julie just recently hosted our Rotary District 6490 conference, and one of her speakers was a retired vaccination technician named Monica Miller from one of our clubs here in the district. And Monica talked about the significant amount of security training they received, but they also do not go in large teams with any kind of arms in order to assure that people understand this is not a violent action to vaccinate or inoculate a child with three drops into their mouth. Mm-hmm. It is meant to be life-saving. So I think up front there is a significant amount of security training and the ability to work humbly, if I can say it that way. That was one of the words Monica used, was just being humble and a good listener and being a compassionate person when going into these areas in order to forge those relationships of trust.
How many cases a year of polio are there in Afghanistan and Pakistan?
Last year in 2018, there were 33 cases between the two countries.
Getting close.
Very,
getting
close. Very close.
But, you know, everyone has to be vaccinated. It just can keep growing if we don't get them vaccinated. It's only a plane ride away. It could go anywhere else in the world.
Polio is an enterovirus, and we're now seeing a different enterovirus in the U.S. That is apparently causing paralytic conditions in young children. The condition is called acute flaccid myelitis. Is that something that the Rotary would turn to, or is it still too early to say about that particular condition?
They've got their eyes on it.
Yeah.
They truly do. What we understand about poliovirus is that there are three distinct strains, and that particular one has not been added as a fourth yet. Mm-hmm. And I think they're still trying to figure out what's going on with it. These viruses only live in human bodies. Mm-hmm. And so once the polio virus type 2 hasn't been seen for probably 7 or 8 years, the polio virus type 3 is now hasn't been seen. We've heard recently sometimes they're even vaccinating against the vaccine because it has found its way to change. Viruses are living organisms and they change. So the strain here that we are seeing in first world countries is certainly under everyone's microscope, literally, to find out what is going on.
Two out of the three strains already apparently eliminated. This would be only the second disease humans have eradicated, and the other one would be smallpox. What does that say about human aspirations and the power of group effort?
I think it's amazing.
When anybody gets together as a group, things get done. And I think this is certainly a prime example, especially now with smallpox being eliminated, polio. We're this close.
To think what could be next is even more hopeful. What could these partnerships that have made such an amazing difference over 30 years, saving millions of lives, averting millions of deaths and millions of children with paralysis, what could we focus on next and make that kind of impact? It's really inspiring.
We're working together to do so many other things. I think, Jane, you mentioned it earlier, you know, clean water, better schools, all kinds of opportunities in these countries these Rotarians are doing. And, you know, Heart to Heart in Mexico, they're doing a fabulous job there with taking folks, Rotarians there, to help better building homes. So the Rotarians are working on polio, but also trying to prevent so many other things.
If someone wants to get involved, how do they do it?
There's many opportunities. There's a lot of volunteers. We're working right now. The five clubs in Bloomington are working on a habitat home, but we would take a volunteer that would help us. There's all kinds of flexibility now and adaptability with Rotary clubs, so we would welcome any volunteer.
Julie Dobsky and Jane Chamberlain of the Rotary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is 89.1 and WGLT.org.